Nice.
Yay!
All right, Dale, you're up.
Okay.
Dale.
It's that time of year again when your nice hosts take a few weeks off. The program will resume with new episodes the first week of March or the end of February for Patreon supporters. But each week until then, your nice hosts will re-air one of their favorite episodes from 2025, along with a few new thoughts about each one. This week's Nice Replay episode is Time Traveling Estate Sale, originally published on April 10th, 2025. I picked this game jam because I was on it.
That's a good reason.
This is when Mark was out sick. But I really liked it because Steven was like super not confident in his ability to date objects. And he actually ended up winning when we played it.
Yeah. I've played Timeline with y'all and you know how bad I am at that.
Yeah. Well,
it is also just patently surprising what it was invented when.
Mm-hmm.
It was. I really liked it because, one, it was surprising, and two, I like history. But three, I really liked it because this was, I think, the most complete out of the box that we've had in a nice game jam, at least one that I've been a part of.
Honestly, it's pretty close. I'm not going to
lie. You could mod Timeline Inventions and play this yourself.
Yeah.
And as the person who provided the prompt, and my relationship to this episode is as a listener, it was really exciting.
Yeah.
One, because you took my prompt and like didn't chuck it exactly, but you took it in a totally different direction.
Yeah.
So I got to really experience it purely as a listener.
Sure. Yeah.
Because I didn't know where it was going. And then, just hearing you get closer and closer to this like buttoned up, like complete experience was really exciting for me. And hopefully, I'd like to think that's how listeners sometimes feel when we do these episodes. But it was cool to experience that myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Surprise.
Yeah.
Again, new episodes will resume at the top of March. If you want to skip ahead 1 week, by time traveling, you can do that by joining our Patreon. You'll get all of our episodes ad-free, plus exclusive bonus content that's pretty nice, too, at patreon.com/nicegamesclub.
Good job. I feel like I messed up my own name.
That's okay.
I mean, the amount of times that you've messed up your name versus the amount of times I've messed up my name, I think I win.
No, it's not a contest. So, should we just jump right into the prompt?
Should we say why I'm not Mark LaCroix?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, probably.
Mark's sick.
Yeah,
and I gave it to him, so I guess this is how I...
This is your penance?
My penance.
Feel better, Mark.
Yeah.
Okay.
But now he does get to come up with the prompt for us.
That's true.
He usually does not get to do that.
Yeah.
I know. So this is very exciting. You're on the other side of the prompt.
Yeah.
I have it on my phone and ready? 3, 2, 1, here we go. Come up with a game where the winner is the player who gets or gets closest to a certain amount of points, but that amount changes from round to round. Hard mode variant, the players don't always know what the amount is. Okay, so the winner gets closest to a certain amount of points, and it changes.
Also, it's like 21, but not 21.
What's 21?
Or blackjack.
Oh, blackjack. Yeah.
Oh, and I was thinking about darts.
Oh darts that's too. True.
Darts. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
or like Price is Right, kind of.
Yeah.
Right?
I guess that would be closest to the hard mode variant, because the whole point is it is a known entity, but you're trying to guess based on context.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How blind are you to the...
So it'd be like The Price is Right if you had to like fish nickels out of a bowl.
Yeah.
Right. Well, this is going in so many different directions, and now I'm just thinking The Price is Right.
I'm just thinking about nickels.
Okay, well, let's continue with nickels then. I don't know.
Okay, you know the Taco Bell thing where you had to catch the nickel on the little spinny thing?
Oh, yeah.
I'm thinking that's about nickels and water.
Oh,
that's all.
Okay, got it. Okay.
Not that that's what we should do.
Right, but that's a possibility.
So here's a question.
Yes.
That is technically two questions. So one of them is, how does the amount per round get determined? And then the other one is, how blind is that information? Because with The Price is Right, you, assumedly, if you know the product, you would know the thing.
Right.
And otherwise, there's context clues that you can guess how much it costs.
Yep.
And same with like games online like Costcodle. It's like Wordle, but Costco, where you get a product from Costco and then you have to guess the amount that it costs.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
This is the... when I watch Antiques Roadshow, I play this game only I play it with how much would Dale buy it for? And it is much cheaper that way.
So like that is, it's a known amount. Yeah. The question is just, do you know it? But if it's completely blind information, then it's, then the question is, how do you know if you're getting close? Because you don't want to just guess. Otherwise you would do a, like have a stellar round at darts, be hitting bullseyes, and then find out that you are last place. And that would suck. That would feel bad.
Okay. So this is a wild direction.
Yeah.
And I don't know that it fully answers your question.
Take us.
But, yeah. Okay, so you said Antique Roadshow. I immediately started thinking, what if it was Antique Roadshow, but it wasn't, like, human antiques. It was, like, alien antiques.
Okay.
So, like, you, like, would get, like, a random bleep blorp from planet.
Oh.
Squee.
Yes.
I guess.
Okay. Yes.
And you have to price that out, and you have to figure out what the price is.
So here's another potential jumping off a point. Have you ever heard about the, this is maybe a tangent. Have you ever heard of the horse that could count?
Yes.
No?
Okay. I mean, I think so. Okay, keep going.
So there was a horse that got famous because supposedly it could do math problems and it could count. And what they actually found was that the horse couldn't do math. What the horse was extremely intelligent at doing was reading body language. The humans around it, when it got, because what it would do is you would give it a math problem and it would tap out with its hooves the number that was the answer.
Right.
It got very good at saying, at telling when it got to the correct answer and it would stop tapping.
Uh-huh.
So the idea being maybe if you have a bleep blorp, and if you, the game is not necessarily, is a little bit of like, you learn the context of the value of the, of the bleep blorp, but you also learn how to read the expressions and body language of the different aliens when you're getting closer.
Wild direction that I wasn't thinking of, but I do like that.
But it's like, that way it's a combo of like, learning to understand the value of things in that culture, and also learning to understand the value that is placed upon things by that culture.
Yes, exactly. That's part of what I was thinking of, is like you as a human do not know what the value of these things would be, but like you can discover that by getting some of the, or trying at this auction and getting things wrong and right.
And it's also like,
based off of that,
it's also just like wild how much people will pay for things that we could not give two shits about.
Yeah.
And it's kind of fun to just see like, it's really worth that much to who?
Right. Yeah. Okay. I really like this direction. And, I mean, knowing Mark, I know that I am imagining part of the inspiration for this idea is to keep people from, like, getting good at the game.
Yeah.
Okay. And so, like, it feels like in the spirit of that. In the spirit of a thing I'm making up that I guess he didn't say in the prompt. But
okay.
That's fine. Yeah. So, okay. So, let's think about, like, how this game, like, actually works. Like, what are you what is each player doing each turn, I guess?
And what if you were markets or stalls at a flea market?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Stalls at a flea market.
Yep. And so each player has, nope, this doesn't work because you always want to be the lowest so your aliens buy from you.
Mm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, you're selling stuff to aliens?
Yeah.
Okay.
Ooh, what if, I mean, it could be a alien Sotheby's, like maybe you're obtaining things for an auction house.
Okay.
Because so then not only do you have, like, maybe the auction is a separate thing, like an extra kind of bonus moment, because like that's when you find out if you've overpaid for something or underpaid for something, because you, the auction itself is back to aliens, so then you can get a sense of how people actually value it. But the main interaction is you're interfacing with someone who is trying to sell their item for the highest bid, you're trying, or for the highest cost, you're trying to value it somewhat fairly. And so it's like a one-on-one thing. And then the auction is the results of how you did, essentially. Does that hit? Because that would then,
yeah, that would control for the high end and the low end.
Yeah. But you would still have the like one-on-one interfacing with aliens as part of it. Cause that would be really fun.
Okay. So multiple players. Do things just come up in like lots of three or four and each one pays a certain amount for it? Or do you take turns and, you know, this is your item. How much are you going to pay for it? How much is it worth?
I always think of single player games by default. So if this is a multiplayer game, I have to shift my perspective.
I know. I mean, we can also throw that out as part of the prompt, but it was part of the prompt that it was
implied
that there are multiple players.
Yes. Correct.
So I guess the way that I'm kind of imagining that this game works is like you have a set amount of money and you're trying to get as much actual value out of the things you buy.
1,000 space bucks.
1,000 space bucks. Mm-hmm. And you're trying to get the most out of your 1,000 space bucks as possible. So you're like buying these things, trying to understand what the value of them are. And then at the end of the game, you look at your actual value and see how much money you would potentially get if you were to sell these to like a pawn shop or something. Mm-hmm. Alien pawn shop. does that make sense? I kind of missed a little bit of what y'all were talking about before.
Yeah. I realized that I missed the multiplayer implication.
Oh, okay.
So now I'm reevaluating my thought process.
Got it.
I mean, reevaluate and then decide what you're going to say no to.
I'm trying not to say no to anything. I'm wondering, okay, do we...
it's also okay to say no to...
If the players are in the auction house and they're voting, or they're trying to get stuff.
Yes.
Like, it's Alien eBay.
Right.
And then we need, so we might be trying to bid and we're outbidding each other and then we get the thing. And then either we have paid too much or we paid pretty dang close to it.
Right.
Then the implication, then like the points we get is, I want it to be like almost like we're a thrift reseller.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But I'm trying to think that still maximizes profit. That doesn't maximize getting as close to the value as possible. And that's the trick with capitalism is we want to buy low, sell high. But for this game, we want to buy exact market price.
Yes. Uh-huh. Ideally.
Maybe.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Okay. That's true.
Which is an interesting wrinkle.
Yeah.
That's true. I forgot about that aspect of it. I was throwing that out entirely. That you want to try to get as close to the market price as possible.
Yeah,
just make it Alien The Price is Right or Alien Antiques Roadshow.
Yeah.
The game.
Yeah. Yeah, because I think there's some merit to that.
Major pivot. Mm-hmm. It's to get this as close to the amount of points as possible. Maybe it's not money. If, like, there's a sense of, like, being on target for something, maybe it's you want to get as close to physical space to something. You want to aim kind of more in the darts idea.
Oh.
Where it's, like, you want to get as close to the same path as something moving through space. Or you, like, you're trying to replicate something and you need that information.
Okay. Thought.
Yes.
I'm immediately reminded of Star Trek replicators.
Oh, like
I watch too much Star Trek now.
Food. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
But instead of making food, it makes fuel.
Oh,
so I guess what I'm kind of thinking, and this is maybe too complicated, but you're effectively you're bartering to get certain items, and these items are worth a certain amount of fuel when you put them in the replicator and
make fuel. Like a matter converter.
Yes, it's a matter converter thing. Yes. And so, like, you're buying a bunch of these items, and you don't know how much fuel they will make, or you have to try to figure out how much fuel they will make to get exactly enough fuel to get to a location.
Okay.
Or as close to that location as you can without going past it or whatever. But I'm wondering if that's, like, really complicated, because it's, like, transferring money into fuel and fuel into distance.
Oh.
And it's weird.
Different. Going back to antiques, though, maybe. Okay, say that you're a time traveler and you want to go to a time machine. One of the things kind of Bloodhound-esque is in order to get to the time you want, you have to put in something from that time.
Oh.
And so you're aiming for a specific time period.
Oh.
So you're trying to evaluate an antique that will be as close to that time period as possible.
Oh, okay.
The extra wrinkle could be you don't want to spend a lot of money. So there's kind of that sense of, like, you want to get as close to a target as possible. That will get you the most points.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But you're also not necessarily sure exactly how old the thing is you're aiming with.
Uh-huh.
The target is both known and slightly unknown.
Okay.
You're trying to kind of match that together.
That's actually really interesting to think of it as, like, you're trying to barter for goods, but the reason you're bartering for goods is the age of the thing and not the price of the thing.
Yeah.
But you also have to account for that because you need to spend a certain amount of money to get.
Yeah, and so
because you got a thousand space bucks.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I guess they're just bucks here.
Yeah.
So assuming that your time machine has fuel, but it needs the kind of object guidance. Yeah, like the point on the GPS.
The homing beacon.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
Okay.
What? Okay.
Because then also you could have it lean so heavy into the fun, wacky antiques roadshow flea market stuff. And then there's also the fact that you could potentially have counterfeit items.
Right, I was going
to
say.
And if you end up just
and then you just go back to the 50s.
Yeah, or you go back to like China, 1969. or something.
That's cool.
There's some interesting historical stuff where it's like, oh, you got this kimono, but it's France in the 1800s because Orientalism was a thing.
Uh-huh.
So right. there's the idea of like China, quote unquote, which isn't actually Chinese.
Yeah.
But it's Chinese inspired, right? You could end up having some really interesting material culture thing there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool. I really like that a lot. Okay, so ultimately, so basically the way I'm imagining the game working is an item is presented to you. Of a various age, you don't know what it is, or you can just at a glance they might like hint that this comes from the 1800s, and you want to go to 1850 or something, and so like you have to evaluate the item based off of your own knowledge. Maybe they'll give you some tips. I don't know.
You could probably maybe ask them some questions, like a set number of questions, and they could respond to it.
Right. And then you can also, need to figure out how much it costs. Right. So you can figure out how much to bid.
So you played Carmen Sandiego, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So you know how like you go to the airport and there are only three plane tickets?
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, here you go to the flea market, there are only three items.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So then you have selections and then you're like, oh, this looks like real China or this looks like China from an earlier period. Yeah. This one looks English versus this one looks French.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
I like having that option because then that also means that you could get closer or close enough.
Okay.
And even if all of you are wildly off, you could still like beat the other people.
Got it. Okay, so we're foregoing the alien aspect of this auction house thing, right?
Yes.
That's fine with me.
Yeah, I like the real part of it.
Let's save Alien Auction House for later, though, because that's still really fun. I love that idea of like being, you know, I think that's really fun.
Yeah, but it's a different concept. So I think we can, we'll come back to that.
Get in the Discord. Okay. Tell us what you do with that.
Yeah.
So, human antique time traveler.
Yes.
Okay. That's the name of the game. We got to come up with something because I'm supposed to say that in the outro. Maybe we'll come up with something better as we do it.
Okay.
But I'm going to start writing down the rules so we can put this also in the show notes. So, listener, you can follow along with us.
Oh, maybe you can have a little, like, you go to the flea market and there are, like, the three things. And then there's, like, little, like, information buttons where you can, like, do research.
Mm. Ooh, okay. I like that.
Yeah.
And I can be like, this time period, blah, blah, blah. Or, you know, this blue wasn't invented until whatever date.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, clever.
That's yeah.
Funny. Right?
Like the timeline game that we played with Ellen a while ago. Because that's that one we learned, like, pressure pots had been invented in the 1800s, which is wild to think about.
Yeah. Steven's typing the rules down. Let's talk about antiques.
Antiques.
Okay, what's your favorite type of antique?
Oh, gosh. I have not watched Antiques Roadshow. It seems like the type of thing I would enjoy. I don't have TV. But I love material culture. I love old stuff. I'm a history major. I would have been, my second choice was anthropology. So this sort of stuff is my jam. I know a lot about like textiles.
Okay.
Because I like clothing and historical dress. So I think like that kind of, whenever there's things where it's like, guess what date this photo came from? I always look at the clothing.
Before, like, that makes sense. Anything.
What type of antiques do you like?
So my favorite on Antiques Roadshow is pottery because like people pay a lot for it and it's breakable.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Yes. And it's also like,
and some of it's like really ugly.
Yeah. So pottery, it's so localized because there's the artist that made it. There's where the clay got dug up.
Yeah. And then there's like either like the business that produced it. If you have like a lot of things and you're like, who buys it that way? Like if I'm going to buy a piece of pottery, it's going to be either from like a department store because I need something to eat my cereal out of, mm-hmm. or is it going to be something fancy, like direct from the artist?
Yeah. I think it's also funny how some ceramics that are really cheap can end up just lasting forever. People collect mugs too. I think that's kind of fun because it's like not just there's the building of the ceramic, but then there's how you glaze it or how, what you put on it too. Jewelry is also fun.
Oh yeah,
specifically because like there's the material it's made of and what was considered valuable, but also like there's some weird and like trends and things. So like hair jewelry,
yeah,
and like things made of coral and stuff. I think that's really fun.
And then there's just like the straight up value of like, this is how much the gold is worth.
Yes.
Because that's still valuable in its raw form versus in a jewelry form. And then like, this is a diamond and like the cut matters too.
Yes.
Oh, I suppose the price could be a tool or a tip to see how
true,
how real this thing is versus a replica.
The other thing about jewelry and ceramics especially is there's the value of the materials, but then there's also the pedigree of the artist.
Uh-huh.
Because ceramics especially, it's like this was made by X ceramicist who is famous, or this particular ceramics house.
Mm-hmm.
And that adds value even if material-wise is the same stuff. And so like there's an interesting thing about that where someone can say, oh, it was made by the esteemed blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
Does that help you? That might help you temporarily, but that also might mean that's more expensive.
Yeah,
there's things like technology will localize time, cars will localize time. Can we agree that this should be something that could like fit in a microwave? Whatever you buy should be able to fit in a microwave
on, yeah, because that's the size of your sure. Time sensor.
Yeah,
that's fun.
You gotta put it in the microwave time sensor.
Yeah, so then we can like not do furniture. Like we're not gonna appraise a bed. We're gonna appraise something
or a rug.
Yeah. So something microwave sized at the most.
Like it.
Yeah, that limits our content.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so there's a few options that you can pick from, and each person just picks an item, or what? How does this work? Do you actively bid on the item to try to get it? Is everybody going for the same year? Or are they going for different years?
I think that everybody should have a year they're going for, and that be a secret.
A secret.
Okay. So I think like part of it is when you're in a auction, there's kind of the like, what do people want? Because you also like want to keep it low.
Yeah.
But the stakes are not just price-wise. The stake is how close are you going to get to your time period.
Okay.
And an auction house is typically before, like a fancy one, they would have a catalog of everything that they're going to be selling on that date. So everyone gets a catalog of everything that will be sold. They have their time period. And then the bidding is the game.
Yeah.
And it's kind of social deduction-y / object deduction.
I suppose, is it possible for you to deny somebody else their like option if you know what their year is? How would you deduct that, though?
Or based on their...
Deduce that, not deduct.
I guess based on their enthusiasm at the auction, maybe?
Yeah, I was going to say, maybe we don't want to make it an auction.
Yeah.
And it's just a straight up, this plate costs $12, this plate costs a lot more, and then everybody is going for a different year because they each have like a different famous person they want to meet.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
This is not helpful.
No.
Because now I'm like, so-and-so wants to meet Voltaire.
Oh.
Well, I mean.
Then you got to figure out the year of the person that.
No, I think that should be part of your date card where it's like, you want to go to 1066 because you want to be a part of the Norman invasion of England. Like, have that be, like, you've given a time and you've given a reason.
Yep. Yeah.
But also that reason would be helpful in terms of, like, because you may not know what 1066 is like. But then if you're like, oh, it was, you know, Viking time. You're like, okay, I'm looking for something Viking age-ish.
Yeah.
That, or like Voltaire, it's like, what was he in?
I don't know.
I guess. Yeah. It would have a little bit about why you want to go visit Voltaire.
Yeah,
to
or
contextualize what that actually would mean.
Uh-huh. Okay, well, we've just made a history game.
I mean, yeah, we're definitely doing that.
It's also a history and capitalism game.
Yeah, yes. I would be terrible at this for many reasons.
But I think, like, you should, as part of the, like, you should be given your time.
Okay.
And the flavor is your reason for going to that time, but that also helps you center yourself on what you're supposed to be looking for.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I was going to argue that we should have everybody have the same year.
Okay.
And my reasoning is, I think it's a little bit more interesting to like be able to like psych other people out if we're still doing the bidding thing. If we're not, then maybe this isn't as good.
Okay.
But if the bidding thing is still happening, you could like bid really high on something, and somebody else is like, "Oh, this must be close to the year," because like I would be terrible at this game.
Okay.
So if you were to bid on something really high, I'd be like, "This is clearly what I'm looking for. I need to bid higher."
And you then I'd be like, "Haha, I'm paying $12 for this plate."
Yeah. Exactly.
Steven Stock. <Uh-oh. laughs> with the replica from the 1950s. Enjoy that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay, I like that.
Okay. So I don't know. I don't want to step on your idea, though.
No, yeah. I just say one more time what your idea is so I can recenter.
It's the idea is that everybody has the same year.
Yeah.
Everybody knows that. And so, like, but like, there are 3 to 5 items that are presented to you, and you need to figure out which of those items are the right year. And you can psych other people out by like bidding higher on things that are, that you have discovered as a replica based off of the information of all of these different items.
Okay. Yes. So, like, this is very 21, very, very blackjack.
It's close to,
It's
a little closer to the blackjack.
I like that.
And so, yeah. So I guess my thinking is like, who determines the price? I guess that could just be, it could just start at zero and then it just goes up and everybody bids on the price of the different items. That would be fine. It doesn't necessarily.
Yeah. I mean, you could be like, you have however money, non-space bucks, human bucks.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it could be like eBay where you draw, like you have the item and it says starting bid is.
Okay, I like that.
That would work.
And it's going to be way lower than it would be.
Right. Yep. But I'm wondering if the starting bid can also be a clue to like the quality of this item.
True.
That's kind of why I'm thinking like, the price could be part of that.
And then you would start with a minimum bid.
Well, I guess that's the thing. We're not necessarily going for quality. We're going for time.
Yes.
Yeah. So,
yeah, I suppose. I guess I'm thinking of in terms of like authenticity is maybe the word I should have used instead of quality.
Yeah. Although I was thinking like you could have a rock and then go to like the beginning of the Cambrian period.
Yeah. I mean, there could be some rocks.
Yeah.
Like, why not? Why wouldn't you be able to bid on rocks?
Yeah. Yeah.
Be part of it.
I mean, because you can find rocks outdoors.
Yeah. Okay. Actually.
But actually, that would be kind of interesting where it's like you have to think a little like sideways. It's kind of talking about your idea of the diamonds cut being interesting.
Oh.
So if you wanted to go to a certain amount of time prehistorically,
put the diamond in and not the jewelry.
Or like you bet really hard on the amber necklace so you could pop the amber out and stuff that in your microwave.
Oh.
And so like maybe there's kind of two dates that you could win with one thing where it's like this is if like it will work for these two dates because either you take the amber out and use that or you put the necklace in and it brings you to like, I don't know, Renaissance Italy.
So is there basically one correct answer? Like one answer will be closest. You will get 5 sets and if you're trying to get to 1800s, figure out the plate that fits in the 1800s or whatever.
I like the idea of the artifacts that you draw that everyone's bidding on be random. And so then there is that a sense of like, this is as close as you're going to get.
Yeah.
And it's like a lesser of two evils. You're trying to get as close as you can based on the options you have because like it's a flea market, you know, who knows what they have, might have nothing. Might be that you just need to get, you're going to have to go there and then wait 30 years.
That's great because we could prototype that like pretty easily. Like,
yeah.
Somebody could just randomly put on a year and then other people can randomly put down some items that we don't know of. And then we can bid on those literally here.
Okay.
On air if we want.
Yeah.
It sounds like a good plan. Maybe we try it.
Okay. We actually could get that invention's timeline game because that would already be preset with items and a year.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let me go grab it.
Okay.
Hey, Steven, what's this Glom thing I keep hearing about?
Yeah, so Glom is a very fun game. It is a fun party game. It's a word game where you have a phrase like, my dog ate my homework.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to rewrite the phrase using different words that aren't in the phrase by following a rule. So the rule might be not allowed to use any A's, for instance.
Oh, yeah. Tricky.
And then you get scored based off of the goal card, and that determines how well you do. If you get the most points based off the goal card, then you win that card.
Super neat.
Yeah, it's very fun. Actually, it's fun for a large group of people, like 10 people. Because like everybody gets to say funny phrases and stuff. It's really good.
We've been hearing from Ellen that she's been playing it a lot with her parents or her parents' friends.
Yeah, she's been like evangelizing it in Duluth.
So it's so great. Like kind of an all ages approachable thing too.
Yeah, yeah, it's very fun. You can go to nicegames.club/glom and check it out. Okay, so I guess what we could do... how do we do this? No, it'll be fine. If one of us randomly writes down a year, and I guess we all can know the year, because that's fine. Yeah, because we don't know the year of objects that we're getting picked. And so we would get, let's say, Dale, can you pick 5 items for us?
Yes, hold on.
Okay.
I think also by the nature of time travel, if we're going to be wrong, it's got to be a... close as you can without going over.
Yeah, because you can't go back. And, well, I guess you although could go back in time.
But. You could actually... Maybe that's... No, that's not necessarily the case. Because if you go over, you could find something that was made a year earlier, and that's going to be easier to find once you're there.
But so, you can't go forward.
Well, I was also thinking if it's like a meet a person, it's you have a lifetime to...
Oh, sure.
So it's not like important you get the exact date.
Yeah.
Or if it's something like a war, you have a period of, you know, 5 or 6 or 100 years.
That's a good idea.
Or 100.
100 years of war.
I know it was 100 years of war.
Yeah.
It ranges from 5 or 6 or 100.
I like that idea, too. Yeah. And it could be like, then there could be different scenarios that you pull. And some of them are, you need to hit this 1 year because you want to see this event. Or it could be, you want to meet this person. They have to be alive and active. Okay. I've given everybody... 5 silver coins and 5 gold coins. Arbitrarily, we can decide how much that is. Maybe like gold is 10 and silver is 5.
Sure.
To bet on.
Okay.
Since you are self-proclaimed not good with history, do you have a particular year that or time frame that you want to aim for?
I guess that's fair.
Out of fairness.
Yeah.
Okay, I picked out some items.
Cool. Okay.
And most of them fit in a microwave.
Cool.
That's good. I don't know the range of years that those
are. Or like, if you were looking at something, you would feasibly go, oh, that looks like it's from the insert time period.
Okay, here.
Oh, I got it. Okay.
Steven, pick a date you would like to go back to.
There's not a lot of dates I would like to go back to.
That is very valid.
Not gonna lie.
Yeah.
For many reasons.
So many reasons.
But
okay, forget it. Lydia, pick a date you would like to go back to.
No.
Okay, I'll just pick a random year, 1925.
1925? Okay. Okay, cool.
Great.
Yeah, roaring 20s. Let's go.
Oh, we're gonna do so much drugs.
Okay. That's why we're going back, I guess.
My body type is not in fashion.
Okay, here are items. Ooh. A milk carton. A barometer.
Ooh.
Oh, okay.
A pair of glasses. A toothpaste.
Toothpaste.
Okay.
An airplane.
Okay.
That doesn't fit in a
microwave.
A ballpoint pen.
That's much better.
A pull tab. Yeah. Okay. The photocopier also doesn't.
Yeah.
A phonograph.
Ooh.
That would barely fit, but it would, I guess. If you shove really hard.
A hypodermic syringe.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I think that one's pretty obvious.
Oh my gosh, I'm going to be so bad at this.
Okay. To review, a toothpaste tube, glasses, barometer, milk carton, ballpoint pen, hypodermic syringe, phonograph, and a pull tab cami, like a soda can.
Yep.
This game that we're using has, the point is when it was invented. So we are looking at our flea market, at our Antiques Roadshow, an original, like, first item, first run of this item after
and like, invented. And in the actual game, it wouldn't be the first run of the item.
But we can, but for the purposes
for those of this, we're going to use those years.
I'm realizing that there's a couple of ways we could go about the actual bidding process. We can make this, like, a little chaotic, and, like, we'd have different one of these based off, or we'd have colors of these chips for each of us. And that would be how he determines who wins it.
Oh.
Or we could individually be like, who wants the toothpaste thing and bid based off of that.
Okay.
There's two ways we can do it. I don't know.
Where we each have one color.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. This is the point of the game where I have less preconceived notions on how we would go about doing this.
Okay.
Especially like, is this all at once? Do we have a turn?
Right. Is this like a silent auction, quote unquote, sort of thing? Or is there just an item that is presented and you bid on that item? Mm-hmm. I kind of feel like it would be more, well, I would like to try the iteration where everybody bids together on different items.
Okay. Yes. Can you walk us through how that would work?
Sure. So the issue is we need like chips to correspond to our colors. Oh, yeah. What we're bidding on.
I'm getting, I've got cubes.
Okay. Cubes work too.
Cubes for bids.
Perfect.
So we've got red cubes for Steven, white cubes for me, green cubes for Dale.
Okay.
How many cubes do we need?
Just honestly, three is fine.
Okay, cool.
Okay.
I don't think we need a lot. We just need to determine who's bidding most on stuff.
Yes, okay.
And I guess you can hedge your bets. Like, if you're close, if you're not sure on yours, you can, like, split it up amongst things.
Oh, I see. So, like, if we're super sure on one thing, all three of our cubes go on that. And if we want to hedge our bets, then we can spread our cubes across three items.
You know what this thing needs is an hourglass. It doesn't have an hourglass.
Does it?
That's sad. Well, we'll just say we'll, like, bid for a minute.
Okay.
Yes. Minute timer.
Cool. Okay. And then, you just put cubes on what you think, is the closest thing.
Okay. Start.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Oh, my gosh.
I am thinking. I know I've also played this game before.
That seems wrong.
Remember.
I don't think it's toothpaste. but I don't know.
Let me see.
It's got to be the phonograph's got to be well before.
I'm thinking this about period.
It. But I'm going to spread it out.
I'm going to do. I've got two on the phonograph. Oh, no. And okay. I think I want.
Okay.
I'm going to take a guess with the ballpoint.
Okay. So you can readjust your bets if you'd like.
Okay,
so,
yes. We have 30. We have 27 seconds to readjust.
Lydia, you're the white cubes?
I'm the white cubes.
Oh, you were really betting on the phonograph.
I am betting on the phonograph, but I'm also looking at the carton because that's appealing to me.
Uh-huh.
I think I'm going to stay, but I'm not necessarily sure.
I like my toothpaste bet.
You got to move your...
I'm going to keep my toothpaste bet.
I remember our conversation about the toothpaste.
You do? I don't remember.
I don't remember the results of the conversation is the problem.
Pull can is later.
0 seconds.
Oh, okay.
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 Okay. So now, I don't know how we resolve
it. Okay, so let's look at the two things that have the least amount of bets.
So we have the syringe and the
toothpaste. The syringe and the toothpaste. Yeah. Okay, so the toothpaste tube, it's not toothpaste. 1896.
Okay, so that's quite a bit earlier.
Yeah. Okay. Hypodermic syringe is 1841.
Yes.
That I remembered.
That's what I voted on. I knew that was bad.
Okay.
I listened to a Sawbones episode about that, and syringes are way older than I thought they were. Mostly just like materials were, different materials are what influenced how it evolved.
I see.
Okay. So. Then next is the milk carton.
Now, because Stephen and Dale both did the milk carton, I'm curious to see what your reasoning is between the two.
Okay, so a milk carton is like paper covered in wax, and that seems like something that wouldn't have been invented until people were looking for a lighter weight alternative to glass.
Yeah.
And so it feels something that was... later.
Yeah.
Yeah, Dale's smarter than me. I just thought milkmans were old, so.
Oh, milkmen are old. I guess, like, my thought was, like, not early enough to be 1920s because glass is heavy and valuable, and I would assume that it would, my thought was, like, I think a war or hard times would lead you to making a cheaper alternative.
Yeah.
Maybe. But let's flip it over and see what you bought. 1915.
Wow. Actually really close.
Actually, wait, but you still would have to have a bidding war on this.
Yeah.
Okay, well, okay. Let's set that
aside. Let's just pretend like we had more money.
Okay.
Yes.
So, like, this...
Oh, yeah, we probably need a little bit more.
More variation.
Yeah.
Okay.
With ballpoint pen, which Dale and I voted on, and then the phonograph was Steven and I. And I had two on the phonograph.
Right, so you would get the phonograph for sure.
Okay.
So we should reveal that one. See where
the phonograph...
It's got to be old.
Okay.
1877.
Yeah. That's what I thought.
Okay. And then the ballpoint pen, flip that over,
is
1938.
Oh,
too late. Oh, but which one is closer?
This is technically, well, if we're going by closest.
Yes.
Can we go back to the milk carton wins?
Yeah.
Yes.
If we're going by closest, technically the milk carton is the closest.
Yeah, we only have to wait 10 years before we can do some
Yes. And yeah, that is actually the closest. You're right.
So theoretically, because this one is later, you could find an item in 1938 and send you back to 1925, which I feel like is kind of a fun little wrinkle.
So I guess that would be the question. Does that mean technically it's closer? Because you would then just find an item. You wouldn't have to wait.
Yeah.
Because you can't like find that. An item that comes from the future until it happens. Yeah. So counterintuitively.
It is counterintuitive.
Yeah. Yep.
But it's like as close as you can be and going over is closer.
Yeah.
Question mark? You still win, Dale. So.
Okay. I like that.
Okay, cool. Okay, so definitely a note is we need way more cubes.
Okay.
Yep.
For each of us.
More cubes.
Okay.
There needs to be more granularity in our beds.
Let me replace cubes because I already grabbed. You pick which one of you want to be silver and which one of you want to be gold.
Okay.
Actually, I will just for time's sake, I will get every other color besides
silver and gold. Okay. And I'm going to pick out some more things.
So I grabbed 10. Yeah. Okay. So I've picked out 10 random colored tile or little coins just to distinguish from gold and silver.
Okay. Did the amount of items we were bidding on seem good, or is 8 too many or too little?
I liked 8, honestly. Especially if it's super random.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
This is a fun idea for a party.
Yeah. It's also kind of fun because by the end of it, you'll have like a weird collection of knickknacks. Like you'll have your own, you'll have your own tchotchkes. Maybe that's why like past time travelers are like, I don't need this anymore. I'm going to sell it. And then it's just a self-fulfilling prophecy. This is the estate of Time Traveler Esquire. The estate sale.
Okay. Okay. I picked out some items. What year do we want to pretend to go to?
Let's...
Somebody else come up with a year.
Yeah.
Other than me.
Okay.
I want to go to 1896, the first Olympics in Paris. Let's go.
Okay.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Okay. Here we go. We got a Winchester rifle.
Mm-hmm.
We have a tuning fork.
Mm-hmm.
We have a microscope. We have blue jeans. We have a rubber band. We have a globe. We have a check. We have... an encyclopedia.
Okay.
That's 8.
Winchester rifle, tuning fork, microscope, blue jeans, rubber band, terrestrial globe, check, and encyclopedia.
In the year, what was it again?
1896. Ready for the timer?
Sure.
Yeah.
1 minute starts now. I think...
I don't know.
I've put 2 on rubber band. We have 1 on encyclopedia right now. I'm also going to be... Well, I see that I'm going to raise Dale's on the check.
Oh!
Dang. And I was looking at that like there were...
I'll do 1 on Winchester rifle just to see.
Notice nobody's betting on blue jeans, so I probably shouldn't do that either.
Yeah, yeah. I'm intrigued by Dale's bets on, or Steven's bets on the encyclopedia.
Got a lot of money.
Because like
throwing it around.
That's
okay. I am also intrigued by that. And
so they're now bidding war, Dale. I don't know if I want to get into that. I still got 3 left. Yeah, I'm just gonna go hard on the check.
Okay, and then
I'm gonna outbid y'all
on the rifle.
Oh, I'm gonna go on to rubber band. I'm gonna hedge my bets in rubber.
No, dang it. Oh, yeah. I'm not beating that. Okay.
Okay.
Well, all
right. Time's up.
Well, I'm gonna
last bet. Last bet.
Okay.
I threw one on the blue jeans last minute.
Okay.
Okay. So, let's go least to most for dramatic effect. So, blue jeans
was with Steven.
1873.
Oh,
not bad.
That's way closer.
I thought it was 1850s. Okay.
I thought it was closer to Gold Rush. Yeah.
Yep. Same here. Okay.
Globe. Which Steven obtained some blue jeans and a globe, which was 1492.
That's the year Columbus sailed the ocean blue or whatever.
Yeah. Steven also bought a microscope, which was 1590.
Look, I just bought a lot of stuff.
Steven bought a tuning fork.
Uh-huh.
If I could pick it up, which was 1711.
Okay, well, I got the blue jeans at least.
Yeah. Steven's best purchase so far is blue jeans.
Okay.
Which is the one we were all avoiding.
Yeah.
I know.
So funny.
Awesome.
Okay.
So Dale bought a Winchester rifle, which was 1866.
Ooh, okay.
Okay.
So that's Dale's. Let's see. Dale also bought an encyclopedia, which was 1751.
Oh, wow.
That's a lot more paper for that age than I would have expected, but seems appropriate for the vibe, I guess. Yep. And then I bought a rubber band. 1845.
Oh, that's far.
And I outbid Dale on the check, which was 1742.
Wow.
Oh, dang.
You win.
I can't believe I won.
Oh, my God.
You're that going was... to the Olympics.
You are.
In 20 years.
Yeah.
Well, you'll have time to train.
Yeah.
You will. I liked the scramble at the end. I think that was kind of fun. Also, yeah. Just be like, oh, I have a coin left. I'm going to buy some blue jeans. And that could have ended up being the thing.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I'm glad I did that. Yeah. That's neat. Yeah. This feels good.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm wondering how we like resolve ties. Because, I mean, it happened in the last game because we only had 3 cubes. But like in this game, it could have theoretically happened.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
That's true. That is true.
Yeah.
How does a tie get resolved?
I also think that like you avoid ties. Like if it's a tie, nobody gets it. So then you have to like notice like when you're placing your bid.
Yeah.
Like, it's not a bet. Your bid. Uh-huh. You know, if I see Steven has 2 coins on it, I know I better bid 3.
Oh, sure.
Interesting.
And then if Steven wants it more, he has to put 2
that's
more
cool
on there.
You could force somebody's hand that way.
Yes.
I like
another idea potentially that the auction house, the house reserves that item for the next round.
Oh.
And so it will appear in the next round and the maybe the people who had bid on it before have to put 1 down at the beginning. Like they've already pre-bet on it.
Oh.
Oh. Okay.
So then they're down some money.
Yeah, so it would only be
because
1.
Because it probably is not from the same time period.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's, of course, like a draw of what time you're going for would be random, right?
So yeah. Maybe... Uh-huh. That's actually really interesting. Now that I think about it, I don't have a lot of money. I have like 3 chips now because I spent 7 on them getting random items that nobody else bid on that weren't anywhere near what true. I needed.
You got so much stuff now.
Yeah, yeah. You got some cool stuff.
Oh, maybe the next round you're like, I'm going to put my globe in there.
Yeah, you've got 1, 2, 3, 4 different centuries you could go to now.
That's interesting that you can bid on items that you think might be useful in the future.
Oh, true. Maybe.
Or like put items into the bid. I don't know.
I guess that's the question is, do rounds carry over or is each round a distinct unit?
I definitely think rounds should carry over because I think that it's interesting that I am now at a disadvantage for spending too much money.
I spent all my money. I think that we should get our money back, but I like the idea essentially of Dale and I, if we tied, we have told the house that something is valuable.
Uh-huh.
So then we have bought in with 1 of our coins into the next round. So we always get 10 coins.
Okay.
But for the next round, Dale and I have 9 to play with.
Oh, okay.
Uh-huh. So, but you have 10 to play with.
Why do you think we should get money back?
So that way we
can keep playing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get it.
Well, it's assume that we had. Well, okay, so I want to make sure that we can keep playing. And then there's also the thing of like, okay, we got as close as we could to our time traveling.
Yeah.
The assumption, I think, is that we time traveled and then we came back to the auction house for our next travel.
Uh-huh.
Oh, okay.
Kind of. Yeah. And so maybe we got some money on the way.
Well, we'd certainly bring an item from 2025 with us
yes.
back to the past,
yes,
I
yes,
guess,
yes.
our cell phones or whatever.
Yeah, we bring something contemporary. We can just scoop up a handful of dirt or something.
Yeah, I guess that would work.
Or a piece of grass. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then that's implied. We always go get back. But we come back to the auction house, and the auction house has determined, oh, yeah, these guys really like this stuff. We're going to up the price or commit them to paying for it next round.
Uh-huh. Sure. I think the reason why I like the idea that you have to... Well, part of it is, like, when we were playing this, we weren't thinking that there would be extra rounds and you wouldn't keep your money. So that would have affected our play. I would not have spent 7 coins on random items nobody else was bidding
on. So you would not have won.
That's true. I wouldn't have won.
So how do we recuperate money? Or do we just play until we're out of money?
I mean, I think it's... I think maybe there's, like, 3 or 4 rounds.
Mm-hmm.
And you just play it. You play as much money as you have available.
Okay.
So you have to keep in mind that like you'll need some money for the 3rd round. Uh-huh. So you don't want to bid all of your stuff on the 1st round.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Or you can, I guess, and then you get 1 point, but then anybody else can get the other 2 points.
Do you want to try and do that? Do we have
It's like
time
really
to do
fast.
That?
So
Okay.
I have to pick out some new stuff then.
Yes.
Okay.
Did you spend all of your coins?
I did.
With you? So, but you bid on some stuff that you wouldn't have spent money on, right?
Potentially.
So you would get that money back. If, like, Dale bid on something that
you bid on,
you would still get it.
Shoot,
get
I should have kept that.
I had three because I was counting it. I think you had. We don't know.
I don't know.
Never mind.
Let's keep that in mind, though, because that's a good point.
Yeah.
I have 10. Do you have 10?
I lost a lot of bidding wars there.
Okay, so we'll play. We'll just play.
Do you
want to
also just fold in some of the ones we had found we had done earlier?
No, because we pretend like we know that.
Oh yeah,
we would know the year.
Oh, Corp is also in a smart card would be small enough.
Okay. Now with timeline, you're supposed to put all of the items in a place, right? Like all the items in the game show up, or do they not? I don't remember.
Ooh,
it's been a while since I played. But I'm wondering if like that.
Oh, you put them in order.
Right, I know, but I mean, like, do all of the items in the deck show up?
Oh, I don't think so.
Each time you play?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Pick a year.
We can effectively build this game similarly then.
Yeah.
We just have like, 100 items and only 8 of them would show up.
Exactly. Yep. Yeah.
Okay.
And then some items could potentially be the 2-time one.
Yeah.
Where it's like a long time ago. Or especially also because sometimes people will like a crown will get broken up into a pair of earrings or something.
Oh.
You know? Mm. Or the jewelry will get repurposed.
Sure.
Yeah, okay. I was going to say, let's go a little bit earlier. So, like, the 1600s. Okay.
Oh,
let's
pretend
like we want to meet Queen Elizabeth I.
Okay.
Ooh, okay.
And we're like, we need makeup tips.
All right.
Oh, yes,
from
for sure.
Queen Elizabeth I.
Oh, hell yeah.
She has time for that, right?
She does have time for that, I guess.
Okay. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Bicycle.
Bicycles.
Watch.
Do we need a specific year? Should I find
Barbed it? Wire.
Look up Queen Elizabeth.
Capital.
And then it would be a range.
Pencil.
Ooh,
safe.
First edition Das Kapital would go for crazy amounts of money.
Not like 4 coins?
Not 4 coins, sadly.
Stethoscope.
Okay.
Wait, I also want to put in the accordion. Which we take. Okay, we're going to take out the watch because I think that's later.
Safe, bicycle, Das Kapital, saxophone, pencil, accordion, barbed wire, and stethoscope.
Okay, some of these things wouldn't fit in a microwave, but whatever.
What?
I don't think you're fitting a bicycle in a microwave.
Let's pretend like it's part of a bicycle.
Okay,
a piece
that's
of
fair.
A bicycle.
Yeah, that's fair.
Okay,
it's a year from a bicycle.
So before we start, because we didn't get the year. The year Elizabeth I was Queen of England in Ireland. It was from 1558 to 1603.
Okay.
So.
1558 to 1603.
That's kind of the range you want, yeah.
Ready?
Okay.
One minute.
You have my chips. Where do they go?
I'm gold. I forgot.
Okay.
I was so excited. Okay. I just dropped one on the floor.
This does seem like your kind of game, Dale.
All right. Ready?
Okay.
One minute starts now. Okay. All right.
I don't know when that was. That's copper. So I'll just put that there. Barbed wire is probably way later.
I like that's
later.
Saxophone's
later. Accordion.
I like the stethoscope.
I'm going to outbid you on the
pencil.
Stethoscope.
Okay, I'm going to take the saxophone.
Bike has got to be later, too.
Oh, man. I also just remembered. I'm going to remove one from the. I think we need to make it like that's if you put it down, you've solidified your bet.
Uh-huh. Because you don't want people swapping their bets out?
Yeah, because I just did that, and I'm going to.
Oh, I think that's fair. I think that makes sense.
Do I try to outbid Dale on the safe?
No one wants to bid on the pencil, huh? I've noticed. I'm not doing it.
I'll bid on a pencil.
I've bid on one thing.
Okay.
And I know it's wrong.
All right.
Why are you not bidding on more things?
Because I'm scared.
Why?
Okay.
Oh, because we have to save for other rounds.
Yeah,
I want it all.
I don't want to be wrong. Yeah.
Okay. I think we're good. Yes. Done.
Okay.
So, Stephen bought Das Kapital from 1867.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
Dale bought a saxophone from 1846.
Oh, man.
I bought a stethoscope from 1816.
Oh, no.
Okay. Dale bought barbed wire, 1867.
I bought
a pencil, 1795.
Wow.
Okay.
Dang. Okay, so if I put nothing down that helps, then this is
I just combined our stuff. Dang it. Okay.
It's okay. We're going to find out if Dale doesn't know anything.
Yeah. And I remember what I bid on and how much for it.
Okay, cool. No one bought the bicycle, which was 1817.
Okay.
And then, Dale, you get your money back. Steven bought the accordion at 1829.
Yeah, okay.
And then Dale bought and outbid me on the safe, which was 1844.
Okay, so there was no right answers here.
No.
The closest one was the pencil.
The closest one was indeed the pencil. Okay. And when I get to the invention of the pencil, I need to
look for some older stuff.
From like 100 years ago.
Yeah.
At least. Okay.
Okay.
2 century. No, yeah. I need to get 2 century-old things when I'm at that place.
Got it.
Those will just be
so I've around, given. Right. If you've lost, been outbidded, I gave you back your stuff.
Yes.
Okay.
So now I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Dale has 7, and Steven actually also has 7.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Really?
Oh,
yeah.
I have more than 7. I have 9. That you doesn't do. Make sense. Okay, I'm going to just accept my having more money.
Okay.
So let's, as a round two, just to, for proof of concept, let's do, we have 5 here. Do you want to pick out 2?
Okay, we're going to take the cork.
We've got the electric battery, the light bulb.
We're not putting in this.
Adhesive tape, Les Miserables, invention of the watch.
Okay, let's put in whiskey.
Cork, whiskey, and we need 1 more.
We don't have a year yet. Is it the same year? It's a different year, right?
No, that doesn't fit in a thing.
One more thing that fits in a microwave.
A newspaper.
Let's do Declaration of Independence. When was that? 1774 or 5?
Don't ask me.
Can you Google it?
Right, yes, I can.
And the invention of the newspaper.
I will ask Google.
Google.
Okay, I know I didn't have.
Okay.
9 because I bought 2 things. I bought the saxophone and the barbed wire. Okay. And I outbid you on one of them. Okay, I have 7 coins.
So we're going to 7076 to steal the Declaration of Independence.
All right.
Nick Cage could.
Yes.
I mean, to be fair, we're also competing with Carmen Sandiego.
Oh, right, no. Right. Yeah, we're trying to get there first. So 1776, let's start.
Okay.
Okay.
Newspaper.
Let me see. I'm going to outbid you on newspaper.
That seems very smart.
I'm going to, then there's the invention of the watch and the light bulb, the cork. I'm going to go for the watch.
All this stuff.
On the assumption we have 3 rounds, should I be saving my money? Maybe.
The picture on the invention of adhesive tape is an I love you
yeah.
writing, but it's all ripped up and
yeah.
taped together. I'm confused.
Well,
somebody broke up with you.
I guess, but then
when and you then they back got put together. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, maybe there is.
And
just
then you got picked together.
Okay. Yeah. Or maybe your little sibling ripped it up and you were sad.
Oh.
Or your dog ate it.
Or your dog ate it.
Yeah, they played Glom.
Okay.
Oh, man. Okay. Do I want to try to outbid anybody?
You have 6 seconds left.
I'm going to.
Cork.
Oh, heck. No, time out. Okay. No! I better watch. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. So, dramatic end of auction.
Yeah.
Steve and I both have bet on the watch, so I think the trick is not to reveal it and instead make it a thing for next time.
I think I bid more than you on the watch, because you have, how much do you have?
No, I had 3.
Oh, and I bid 3. Oh, okay. Never
yes. So
you
think
guys are bad at bidding.
Yeah,
we are
so.
Bad at bidding.
Yeah.
So Steven bought a light bulb, 1879.
Okay.
An electric battery, 1800. Pretty close. He also bought whiskey, 1494.
Okay, not quite there. That would have been good for the last bit.
Dale bought Les Miserables,
okay.
which is 1862.
Oh, dang.
She also bought, and then Steven, here's your coin.
Okay.
Cork, which is 1695.
Ooh, well.
And then I bought a newspaper. I outbid Dale. So Dale gets your coin back.
And that one's funny because that definitely has the date on it.
Oh, I missed that.
Does it?
No.
Oh,
not like really, but like if you were actually bidding on
it, it would have
to be like a newspaper from 1925.
That is true. That is true.
That's funny.
Yeah.
So no one gets this one, but what was the...
That is a... So I guess the question is, would we get our money back, but we then have to put in one... We start with one of our coins on each, on that one for the next round?
Yes. Yeah, I suppose we could do that.
Maybe. So then you would get 2 coins back, and I would get 2 coins back.
And we don't get to know what the year is then.
Yes. Mm. So on this... Do we want to stop now on the assumption that there would be a third round and kind of regroup?
Yeah, I think we kind of get the gist.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
yeah, this game does work.
It does.
And it's kind of fun because I don't have to feel bad when I don't know a thing. I'll just kind of base my bets off of other people.
I think that's kind of true. You can
win the most junk.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of a like, what's that game? Like Spoons? Where you, a little bit of that.
It is like Spoons. But then eventually you get blue jeans, you know, and then you end up winning. So,
yep.
I was the one who won the most solidly.
I know. You did.
I feel good about myself.
So basically what you need to play, you need a certain, you need 10 chips or a certain number of chips each.
For each player,
in different colors. You need a bunch of items on one side and dates on the other side from where that item came from. Potentially multiple dates, depending on if like it's a deconstructible or repurposed thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then you need a bunch of dates that you want to travel to with some context. So like the lifetime of Queen Elizabeth I, so you can learn makeup tips, insert thing here. Or this specific date, the Declaration of Independence, because you want to steal it before Nick Cage. Something kind of that helps.
Or secretly sign your name on it.
Oh, that would be also very good. That would be really good. That's a good bit.
So who is this?
To have like a little bit of fun, a little flavor, but also some sense of, for people who may not know history by dates, which is hard, a sense of roughly what time period you're working with. And I think that's it, because essentially you can play it with timeline for inventions. And some coins, and then a bunch of paper.
Yeah.
Yep.
And now that, as everyone's been waiting for, the invention of the watch was 1504.
Oh.
So,
glad I've been on that one.
Yeah. So, Steve and I are going to, depending on next round, though, if we were so gung-ho about it being in the 1700s, maybe Dale would swoop in and get it if she knew better. And the next one was like was like in the 16th century.
Yeah.
That could also be kind of fun because then we're locked in and we have to have our preconceived notions challenged.
Yeah.
Or confirmed, depending on what time period we want.
Yeah, this is cool. I like this better than timeline for sure. I don't have to know too much. Yeah.
Well, I think it's this sort of thing.
You can just buy a bunch of discount stuff.
Yeah. Just kind of satisfying. Honestly, this isn't like really complicated either. It would be a really simple pitch.
Yeah. Uh-huh. This is something you totally could make your own paper prototype for your own flavor of antiques. Like you could feasibly have like all ceramics. You could have all textiles if you and your friends are just love that sort of stuff, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a different. Oh, man.
Even be one if you wanted against our. Smaller than a microwave, if you wanted it to just be, if you have a bunch of car nerds, you could have it just be cars and say like, okay, you're going to retrofit one of these cars to go back to time.
Oh, period.
DeLorean style.
That's fun.
But yeah, depending on the on the time periods and the culture and the materials, you could just make whatever works for your party.
Yeah, a lot of ways you can go about it.
Okay, so what did we name this game, Steven?
Time Traveler Estate Sale. You said that at some point.
Yeah.
And I like that name.
I like it too.
That's our show. We post show notes and such on our website, nicegames.club. Go there to find the rules of the game we made today and totally gave a name to, and that name is Time Traveler Estate Sale. Nice Games Club is on Patreon. Support the show and get stuff, including ad-free episodes delivered to you 1 week early. Sign up at patreon.com/nicegamesclub. And if you want to keep things more casual, just stop by nicegames.club/discord and say hello. Next week, we'll be looking at the art of saying no and tiny interactions. But that's it for this week.
So until we start again, remember to
play nice
and make nice.